Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Psalm, and we find our way chapter 52. Just recently, we hit Psalm 54, and now we're hitting Psalm 52. We're in a series of the power of God's name, that we know the study of God's names are a powerful study in themselves, that we learn from God's names how God revealed himself through his names by showing us his characteristics and his attributes. We also see that there are many different ways of using God's name, whether that you believe in his name, call upon his name, justified by his name, saved by his name. There's so many that we've studied so far. In fact, I think we're on message 30. That means we've already gone through 30 different ways of seeing how we can use God's name. We now come to another one as we look together in Psalm 52. Psalm 52, and notice with me if you don't mind, in verse number 1. Psalm 52 and verse 1. Why boastest thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that madeth not God his strength, but trusteth in the abundance of his riches and strengtheneth himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase here that we find in Psalm 52 in verse number 9? Psalm 52 in verse 9, notice the phrase, I will wait on thy name. I will wait on thy name. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give grace and mercy, give us understanding, help us to, as we open up this passage, that your Holy Spirit would make it clear, that you would help us to be encouraged to wait on your name, to see what it means, to see how it applies to us. And we love you. We could trust you to do your own work. Just fill me with your spirit. Use me as a vessel, however you see fit. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging your saints tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. I will wait on thy name. Now, as we said before, that God has revealed himself in two major ways. He has, first of all, revealed himself in the Bible. That's the main purpose of the Bible, is to reveal God to man. A second way that God has revealed himself is by his names. That as God has revealed each of his names, it also is attributed to a attribute or a characteristic that describes more about God and who he is. Well, as we find these different ways of using God's name, we now come to the one of waiting on God's name. Waiting on God's name, which carries the idea that because of the attributes of God, because of the character of God, because of who God is, I can learn to wait on him. Remember, the idea of waiting on him is not an absence of movement, but it is because I believe in him, because I can trust him, I can move forward in my life letting God be God, letting God take care of the issues based off of his name. Now, David is writing this psalm. Notice with me the title of it and see the context of what David is going through. It says, to the chief musician, Mishael. Mishael is a type of song. A psalm of David when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. Now, in this title, we could see the context that David wrote these words in one of the most painful moments of David's life. David was fleeing from Saul, and as he was fleeing from Saul, he stopped at the house of God. And as he stopped at the house of God, he talked to the high priest at that time, Ahimelech. And as he began to talk with the high priest, he asked the high priest if he could get some bread. He asked if he had a weapon. And Ahimelech gave him some bread, and he took care of him and gave him Goliath's sword. And he says, you killed Goliath, you might as well keep the sword. Go ahead. And so he did not know that David was fleeing from Saul. He didn't know anything was up. He just knew that David was one of Saul's trusted servants, someone who was a man of God, someone who depended upon him. No questions asked. Sure, no problem. Well, there happened to be a non-Israelite, an Edomite, by the name of Doeg, who watched all of this. Then when Saul's looking for David, Doeg went and found Saul and said, I know where David's at. He went over to the high priest and they took care of him. They're plotting against you, and began to speak evil words against David and against the priest. Well, Saul is upset. Bitterness has already eaten him up. He's already a changed man because of it. He's become a very emotional man, and now he's enraged. And he orders his soldiers to go kill the priest. Well, a soldier said, well, boss, maybe that's not the best idea. I don't think it's really wise for us to go kill all the preachers. I don't think. And so Saul's really upset now that now his men are disobeying. Is there anyone here who will take care of business? And Doeg, that traitor, raised his hand and said, I'll take care of it, boss. And Doeg, the enemy, went and killed 75 priests and their families, women and children, and did it gladly. Only one priest was able to get out alive, and that was the high priest's son. And he came back and reported to David. Could you imagine? David didn't think he was doing anything wrong. He did not think anyone was going to get in trouble, didn't think anyone was going to get hurt. But here this man comes and tells David that all of the priests and their families are dead, because Saul was so mad at David. If you heard that, wouldn't there be something inside of you that wanted this man Doeg to suffer? Wouldn't there be something inside of you that would think it's not right? Why would he get away with this when he murdered all those people? And then, of course, the guilt that David would probably feel naturally, that they died because of David. David didn't do this. This is at a low point in David's life. This is at a sensitive time in David's life. What are you going to do with this? To think that 85, that was the correct number, 85 priests and their families, women and children, perished during that time. It would have been easy as David, as a man of war, to take matters in his own hands, to try to right things that were wrong with his own way. But he did not. He looked beyond Doeg's betrayal and Saul's hatred, and he put his eyes on the Lord and said, I can trust you. I will wait upon your name. Now, this isn't passive, and this isn't resignation. By the way, it is harder to wait on God than actually act and do something on your own. But it showed that he was able to trust in God. Why was he able to trust in God? Because of God's character, because of God's names, because of who God was. That God, who is wonderful, who is gracious, who is just, who is holy. David said, I could trust that God. It wasn't waiting on a change of circumstances. He was waiting on God to take care of it because he could trust God to handle things better than what he could. So with that being said, let's explore this psalm and let's learn a few things. First of all, waiting on his name, trust in God's justice. Waiting on his name, trust in God's justice. Notice as David begins this psalm. Why boastest thou in thyself in mischief, O mighty man? So imagine David's writing this, even though Doeg's not there. This is a psalm about Doeg. And you, if you could imagine David having an interview, speaking to this man. If you could get a hold of Doeg, by the way, and this was you, wouldn't you have some choice words to talk to this guy about? Wouldn't you have some things you wanted to get off your chest? So David is expressing these things. Now, may I also pause, that even though he was waiting on God, didn't mean he was stoic. Didn't mean an absence of emotions. But it meant those emotions were under control because he could trust God. But he says, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? I mean, that's a legitimate question. Doeg, why are you bragging about what you did? You killed 85 priests and their families. You're a murderer. You're a mass murderer. Why are you bragging? Why are you talking about that you're such a great guy? He says, the goodness of God endureth continually. He says, I got two choices in a situation like this. I could put my eyes on this murderer, or I could put my eyes on God. And that's the choice we all have. There was plenty of injustice in our world. And we can look at news report after news report. We can look at thing after thing. And we could just keep our eyes on this person being stupid or this person saying this or the remarks of this person. And we could actually get to the place where we're consumed because it's all we're seeing is this person. Or we can choose to look at the God of justice and say, God, I trust you. Don't need to spend and waste time and emotions to this man. I need to put my attention on you because you could take care of it. But there's a choice. What do you choose? Notice as he goes on, he's speaking again. If he could get a hold of Doeg and talk to him. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs. By the way, it was Doeg and his tongue. Oh, boss, I know where David is. Let me tell you what happened. And he came up with a story and embellished on it. He said, thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. He says, you got plans and you use these plans. By the way, Doeg did. He used this to move up in the leadership, in the ranking, and Saul's favor because of this. All the rest of the soldiers didn't do anything. Doeg did. And at the moment, Doeg looks like the prize. He looks like the man that Saul can trust to get the job done. He used his mouth and his words to get ahead. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Without a doubt, he says, you love to use your tongue for evil rather than good. You love lying rather than righteousness. We all know people like this. And by the way, if you know someone like that, it is very hard not to keep your attention on that guy. You want to think about the guy and his wrongdoings, the awful things that he did, and you can't get your attention from him. But you could choose to look at God and trust in him. Notice with me in verse number 4. Thou lovest all thy devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. Now, David's got some hard things to say because this guy opened up his mouth on purpose to get these people in trouble and to move up the ranks. And he did a lot of damage, not only with his words, but later on with his sword. Again, David, he had some feelings. He's not happy with it. So we could relate to this too. This isn't talking about that if we're trusting in God, we have an absence of feelings. but as having feelings under control and purposely looking at God. It wasn't like this was a light thing. This was a serious thing. But he had a choice. Do I look at the person who did me wrong, or do I look at God? This guy is clearly guilty, but David has to make a choice to trust God. Notice with me as he looks towards God and understands what God's going to do. Verse 5, God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He will take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. There's some picture. If you can imagine Doeg trying to hide deep in the earth, and God in his hand, if you're going to lose a visual, would actually come in, no matter where Doeg is, get him out and pluck him out of the land of the living. He says, I could trust God. God will take care of him. And by the way, God can take care of those people a lot better than we can. We may think that we could plan it. Man, you just let me be in a room for 15 minutes and I'll make sure it's finished. But we're trying to take justice in our own hands. And none of us can carry out justice like God can. None of us can do it correctly like God can. Our emotions will take over. We're not doing it out of righteousness. We're doing it out of our selfishness. We're doing it out of emotions. But God can take care of them better than we can. And he says, I could trust God. I could trust God to pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, to root thee out of the land of the living. I could trust God to get the job done. There's nowhere Doeg could hide. There is no place he can go that God could not get to him. If Doeg realized that David was after him, he could run and hide. He could go to ground. He could bury himself. He could hide in a city. He could hide in a crowd. He could hide in the roar fields. He could hide from David. In fact, that's what David's trying to do from Saul. But he can never hide from God. We may think that some people are never going to get away with it, that they're never going to be brought to justice, but God's never stopped watching them, and he's never lost track of them. God will continue. God, we could trust on God's justice. We could wait on him and trust that God will do it in his timing. That's one of the hard times too, is that we want God to handle things now. But God will handle it in his timing. Notice as we go on. Verse 6, and the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. You know, when it's all said and done, compared to God, these people are very small. That enemy that you think is so big and so looming, they're small compared to God. That person that you had so much hatred over, passion about, you could look and say, you know, God's got this. Why was I so worked up? I could trust God to do this. He's nothing compared to God. Verse 7, lo, this is the man that made not God his trust, but trusted the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in wickedness. So we have a comparison. We have Doeg. We're going to compare it to David here in just a bit. But here is a man who didn't trust in God, but he lived his life trying to force his way ahead, fight his way ahead, manipulate his way ahead to deceit, to do whatever it took to get him up on top. He was not trusting in God. He trusted in his own plans. There was a time Doeg said, you know what? I'm going to tell Saul this. He probably rehearsed the story before he saw Saul. Gave a couple practice runs. How am I going to say this? How can I incriminate this? How can I show myself to be a hero in this? How can I really get Saul's anger inflamed? People do that. You probably do that. Maybe you want someone really angry at someone else. So how can I reword this to really get them aggravated at them? It's called YouTube, Facebook, comment section, internet. People love to inflame the situation, love to manipulate the details just a little bit more, where you leave something out, put something in, just to erupt emotions. Doeg said, how can I really get him inflamed? And it worked. Saul was mad where he wasn't even thinking straight. Who in the world, especially if you're the king and they're your people, why in the world would you ever kill 85 religious, peaceful people and their families? Now, granted, Saul only authorized to kill the priest. Doeg went ahead and took it upon himself to kill the rest of them. But still, 85 priests of the house of God, somewhere where you claim that you worshiped and you followed? Why would anyone do that? Because they weren't thinking straight. His emotions got in the way. But how did his emotions get in the way? Doeg inflamed them. I know how to get ahead. If I could get Saul not thinking clearly, if I could get him to go off of emotions and get him reacting, I could get my way. He had a plan of action. He used his words. He was a very smart, conniving guy, very deceitful, and went above and beyond just to prove himself to Saul that I've got worth, I've got value. He tried to live his life on his own. Now, David could follow suit. David could react out of emotions. David could go and get his way. I'm going to get him. I'm going to take it. He could send assassins. He could go do it himself. He could go take his revenge killing. He could do all of that. And would that have helped the situation at all? In fact, he would have lost confidence of the rest of Israel just by looking like a murderer himself. God, I have to trust you. I know what I want to do, but I can't do it. I need to obey what you've given me to do. I can trust you to get your own work done. God, I could trust you because you're a God of justice. That's actually one of God's names, the God of justice. God will do what is right. And we can trust him. It may not be in our timing. It may not be when we want to. But God knows exactly when to get it accomplished. Mostly, does it in a way that he could teach other people a lesson. It didn't turn out that well. It didn't go well. God is a God of justice, and I can trust in him. I can wait on God's name. Not only does waiting on God's name, waiting on his name, trusting God's justice, but waiting on God's name is trusting in God's goodness. Trusting in God's name declares God's goodness. Notice with me in verse 8. But, remember, we see that word but, it is bringing the opposite of. So it's comparing Doeg and where Doeg is lying and cheating and scheming and getting ahead. But God is going to see him. God's going to take care of him. God's going to pluck him out. We could trust God's justice. But in opposite of that, but I, David, am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Now, what's this imagery he's putting across? I'm a green olive tree. What is this? He is secure, fruitful, and thriving. He is secure, fruitful, and thriving. You said, are you sure? Is he living in the palace? No, he's living in a cave. He's hiding for his life. But he is secure, fruitful, and thriving. Because you trust in the mercy of God, because you know that God is good, and you can wait on his name, knowing his character. Again, it's not impatiently tapping your feet, but it is going forward saying, I trust you, God, tell me what to do, and taking the next step, and the next step. It's not standing still, it's moving forward because you trust God. And he says, because I trust God, and I'm depending upon him, I could be fruitful. That's a wonderful thing, to be able to produce fruit, to be able to be at the place where you are secure. The best place you could ever be is inside of God's will. To know that I'm in God's will is a secured place, even if the rest of the world is acting crazy around you. I could be secure and I could thrive. You know, one of the things about true Christianity, as we're trusting God, it doesn't matter the circumstances we find ourselves, we could be thriving spiritually, whether in pain, whether in opposition, whether in distress, we could still be thriving spiritually if we're plugged into God. Whenever we're just surviving and not thriving, that's because we're not waiting on God. We're not depending upon Him. We've got our eyes on the circumstances more than God. We should be thriving no matter what circumstances you find yourself, no matter what stresses you find yourself in. God is always good and God is always right. And we can trust in Him. How do I know that I'm waiting on God? Because I'm able to trust in Him. There's a peace that comes. I know God's going to handle it. I know God's going to take care of it. It's not, I hope He takes care of it. I know He will. How is He going to do it? Not a clue. But I can trust in Him. How do I know I'm trusting Him? I take the next step. And the next step. If you find yourself where you're not moving forward, it's because you're not trusting in Him. If you find yourself where you're standing still or growing stagnant, it's because you're not trusting in Him. What is your next step? What is your next move? How do you go forward? How do you keep going? God wants us to thrive. And it's not because of our own strength and our own ability. It's because we can trust in Him. We can thrive. And it's a testament of God's goodness, no matter what pains. Was it clear to others that David was in pain because of actions of Doeg? Rightfully so. These people died because of association with David. That hurts David, but it didn't stop him. He was not stuck. He couldn't get over it. He couldn't say, well, you know, it's not worth it anymore. I just give up. I'm just going to stay in bed. I'm just going to surrender to Saul. I'm going to take my own life. I'm just going to throw a fit. He says, no, I trust in God. And I could go forward. And in the middle of my pain, in the middle of hard circumstances, in the middle of where I could see people are literally trying to kill me, I can thrive. He says, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. We see one more thing. That waiting on His name unites us with His saints. Notice with me in verse 9. I will praise Thee forever because Thou hast done it. Who's this Thou then? We know at the very beginning it's like He was talking to Doeg, but now He's switched in His addresses to God. God, Thou hast done it. And I will wait on Thy name. For it is good before all Thy saints. Waiting on God is not just a personal act of trust. It's a public testimony. People were able to trust in God because David was able to trust in God. When we learn how to wait on God, we may not realize it, but others are watching us. They're waiting to see how we respond to outside stimuli. People know when we're having a hard time. They know when people have been unfair to us. And you know, most people have enough flesh in them, they come to us because they want to see us react. They're looking for a show. Oh, and the better the show you give them, the more they enjoy it. You watch someone throw a hissy fit, it's entertainment. Prove it. Go to Walmart and go watch some Walmart kid. It may annoy you to hear the screams, but you're like, yeah, it's not going to be them. Right? There's enough flesh in each of us. You're like, well, yeah, sucks to be you. I mean, be honest. We take perverse pleasure watching when something bad happens. Like, you know, I could have told that was going to happen. Yeah, well, that's what they get. I mean, I'm not the only sinner in here, right? I mean, it doesn't look attractive for an adult to throw a fit, but man, people will come and watch. Again, there's whole YouTube channels on people just throwing fits. Why do people watch it? Because it's entertaining. Let's watch them just melt down. This is great. But you know those same people? They're looking for us to melt down. They're looking for us to throw a hissy fit. They're looking for us to give in the towel. They're looking for us to complain. But when we're able to trust God after hurts, real oppression, real pain, and us being able to say, God's still good and God's still right, that testimony helps other people. They have a God worth trusting. How could David go on after this? How come David didn't take matters in his own hands? Everyone would understand David. Everyone would applaud David. Oh, man, that guy deserved it. Good job, David. But they would be looking at David and not looking at God. They wouldn't learn to trust in David's God the way that David did. When we're able to wait on God, it becomes a testimony. You know, it really unifies the saints when they see someone going through a hard time and everyone's looking at God together and say, we could trust in him. We could depend upon him. They're not giving up. I'm not giving up. If you can forgive the personal testimony, my life hasn't been within the absence of problems. And of course, my biggest one's my health. And it is amazing how many missionaries and evangelists and preachers say, because of what you go through, it's an encouragement and blessing to me. Because I could see that you're trusting God and God's worth it. I've had preachers say that when they've gone through hard times, they go back and think, you know what? I remember Brother Bockhaus. And I was able to trust in God the same way he did. And I got through it. Now, again, forgive the personal testimony because I hate it. Because I'd rather not go through the pain. I'd rather not be hurting. Forget this. So I understand that God is even good to allow these things to happen. To give us the opportunity to trust in God because we don't realize how many people are watching us. And they're watching you. They're mostly watching you because they want the show. But instead, they could get pointed up to God. You ever wonder why some people call you right after something bad happens? They're not there to encourage you, no matter what they say. They want to see if you're going to melt down and break down. Give me the juicy details. Come on, tell me. You're like, I didn't know why they called. Yeah, they're all sinners. Most people are there for the show. Oh, they want to hear and they want to see the show. You guys, after this sermon, you guys will go and start watching other things and start going, oh, they're right. Look at all this stuff. Woo. But when you're able to wait on God and you keep moving forward, you keep thriving under these circumstances that should break most people, it's not because of your own strength, by the way. It's because you're able to trust a good God. And it draws people closer to wonderful God. Their God is worth being trusted. Their God is worth it. And you can encourage other saints to trust God because of the testimony you have. Under real oppression. Now, if you stub your toe, nobody cares. You're expected to show up at church if you have a little cough. But to keep going forward and keep pressing on when people know that you have legitimate pain, legitimate hard circumstances that you haven't given up yet, they're encouraged and it's a help. You understand, waiting on God is all about the great God we could trust. And as you learn the different attributes of God and the different characteristics, as we learn his names, you can learn there's so many ways we can trust in God because God covers it all. We don't have a one-trick pony God. We don't have a God who only brings rain. We have a God who controls everything. Can you trust God? How do I know trusting God? Because you're able to take a step forward. You're able to be obedient to him even in the middle of the pain, the hardships, the aches. Now, again, I'm not wiping away. We know that there are some people with some real situations in here. Pain, family, finances. And we encourage you. There may be nothing I can do about it, but you could trust God and take a step forward. Don't quit. Another step. Another step. Another step. Again, you don't know who's all watching you, but someone's watching you. Don't give them a show. Give them faith. Let them know that God is worth trusting. God is so good. He is nothing but good. He is always good. And the way that we prove it is by acting like it when circumstances are not good. He's always good, and he's always right. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.